thanks. As we mentioned this morning, this whole Thanksgiving weekend, we will be emphasizing this reason for thanks before God and each other. And how infinitely many reasons we have for thanks when we think of God sending His Son into this world to serve as Savior of sinners. In the fullness of time, as the Gospels tell us, Jesus came. He came as the Son of God in the flesh through the conception by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary. That event was a miracle of infinite wisdom and power beyond our ability ever to comprehend fully or to tell about in all its fullness. Paul the Apostle says, in view of it, in 2 Corinthians 9:15, and in view of everything about Jesus, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. It's so instructive, really, to observe how with Paul, whatever matter he dealt with, he always would bring it back to Christ somehow, some way. In connection with 2 Corinthians 9, the whole passage is about our giving to God, our gifts, our offerings, our tithing to God. And in connection with that, as Paul speaks about that, then he says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. All our giving is but a reflection of His giving to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying in that last verse in 2 Corinthians 9 that God's gift in Jesus Christ is so incomparable and indescribable and inexpressibly wonderful and glorious beyond words to tell. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. The apostle is saying this in reference to everything about Jesus. But this afternoon, we want to think of that verse, particularly in reference to Jesus' miraculous conception by God the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, Virgin Mary. Yes, the Bible makes this very clear, doesn't it? How Mary never knew a man intimately when she became pregnant with Jesus. And all during her pregnancy, even when married to Joseph, there was no intimacy between her and her husband in that whole time, till after Jesus' birth. The birth of Jesus in this way can only be described as a totally unique, almighty, miraculous work of God, God the Holy Spirit, in the womb of Mary, Virgin Mary. And this is stated emphatically and simply, isn't it, in the two passages we read in Matthew and Luke. In the Luke passage, after Mary asks, how shall she be with child in the womb without having known a man in a husband and wife relationship? The angel answered her then, saying, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And Matthew 1:22-23 further speaks of this divine miracle as fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, declaring thus, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now, dear congregation, do you and I say, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, just in view of Jesus' miraculous conception. That it might be so for all of us, either for a first time or else afresh, again and again and more, let's consider our sermon theme, thanks for the gospel of Jesus Christ just with his miraculous conception. Let's notice, this is gospel fact, so amazing and so good and so powerful. It is gospel truth most amazing beyond all question, our first point. Jesus' miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Virgin Mary, it's so amazing that many people just simply deny it and say, it's not possible. They don't want to believe that with God, nothing is impossible, as the angel also specifically told Mary in the case when he announced that she would be the mother of the Christ child. Not believing this, most sadly and foolishly, all too many people just reject this historical fact about Jesus and this essential truth of the Christian faith, namely of his miraculous conception and wonderful birth with the Virgin Mary. But regardless, congregation, of people rejecting it, blinded in their sin and unbelief, it ever remains the fulfilled promise of God and the absolute truth of history and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God come in the flesh, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. It's most amazing, without a doubt, yes. As we read also from the Athanasian Creed, the early church fathers confessing there, quote, "For the right faith, we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world, perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting," lines 30 to 32. Congregation, never can we explain this miracle. And it always remains a mysterious wonder beyond us. Doesn't the Apostle Paul himself express this in 1 Timothy 3:16? He exclaims there, "And without controversy," that is, beyond all question, "great is the mystery of godliness." And then the first things he mentions is, "God was manifested in the flesh." I was struck in this regard in reading this week in my sermon preparation from an older, highly respected and learned preacher of our day. I believe he's still living. And he says the following about the gospel wonder of Jesus' miraculous conception as declared in Luke 1:35. Quote, "It does not belong to us to know more than this about this great miracle of Christ's conception than what is told us in Luke 1:35. It is enough for us to know that the power and wisdom of God was sufficient to enable Virgin Mary to conceive in her womb a child with no human father. In this way, our Savior could be both divine and human, sharing the very nature of God and yet sharing also our flesh and blood, derived through the Virgin Mary. If Jesus," he went on to say, "if Jesus had been born of a human father and mother, then he would have shared in Adam's fallen nature. But precisely because this was not the case, he did not share in Adam's transgression. His human nature was brought into existence, in other words, in a special supernatural way and manner, so that he could be both God and man and sinless as to his human nature." End of quote. Isn't this well put, congregation? Reverently and humbly so. And surely this is the good news of the gospel, so amazing. The Heidelberg Catechism in question and answer 35 states most clearly too that it's really wonderful. It's astounding. What is the meaning of these words? "He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary." Answer: that God's eternal Son, who is and continues true and eternal God, took upon him the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary. He could have looked like his mother Mary. He took on him the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary by the operation of the Holy Ghost, that he might also be the true seed of David, like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted. This is the Christian's belief and testimony concerning Jesus. And when grasped and gloried in, you say then too, don't you, with Paul, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift in providing Jesus as he is, as our Savior and Lord. The day Adam and Eve fell into sin, the Lord promised, didn't he, a Messiah to save his people from their sins. He would be the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. That seed of the woman come to conquer sin, Satan, death, and hell. And again in the Old Testament history, when you know your Bible, God showed himself, didn't he, in preparation and in anticipation of this most amazing event. He showed himself as the one who's almighty over the womb of people, over the womb of women. From Eve to Mary, God proved almighty over the womb in the family line too of the house of David, till the great Son of David would be born, conceived of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. Yes, this happened as God planned and promised, though time after time, in all kinds of ways, Satan, you know that great red dragon, as told about in Revelation 12, he tried to prevent the coming of the Christ child. Just think here, as others have mentioned, of Pharaoh's conspiracy to drown all the Jewish boys, which was to be the family line of that promised Messiah. And then consider King Saul's javelin hurled at David more than once, that ultimately there be no great son of David. Or consider Queen Athaliah's attempted total purge of the house of David in her wicked plot against the God of Israel and his messianic promises to them. Or what about wicked Haman's schemes to wipe out the whole Jewish race? All these were just some of the plots, you see, against the promised Messiah, Savior, King, but they all failed. Yes, sometimes by narrow escape, but God prevailed through the faithful covenant-keeping God Almighty intervention over and over in history till the day that Christ would be born. Remember, too, though, even when Jesus was born, just when he was born, there was again that wicked order, you know, of Herod to kill all infants 2 years and under in Bethlehem and region, that somehow he might thereby destroy this Christ child, this king that the wise men had spoken about. But that was all to no avail. Thanks be to God. All happened as God had planned and promised and designed and marvelously accomplished in the fullness of time. Oh, what a supreme wonder, so amazing, Jesus' conception and birth of the Virgin Mary, when it happened as it happened. It's so amazing, the tidings of Jesus' conception and birth. And what reasons, therefore, to say thanks for the gospel of Jesus Christ, just with his miraculous conception? Does this testimony find an echo in your mind and heart in this worship service? For the true Christian, the tidings of Jesus coming as he did and for what he came, they are not just a nice sentimental part of the whole Christmas celebration every year, going together with all the worldly ways of celebrating Christmas. No, but it's the heart and substance of the gospel message. Then you believe, yes, the tidings of Jesus coming as not just so amazing, but so good, our second point. It's so good the way Jesus came, thinking of the whole Godhead. Think of this, the whole Godhead involved in his coming, in this indescribable gift for us. Salvation for sinners like us is of the Lord, from God triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With Jesus coming to this earth as he did, when he did, We need to see the love and the mercy of God the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, sending him to this earth to seek and to save sinners, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No greater gift, congregation, no greater gift of love has ever been shown than God the Father sending his Son, his only begotten Son, to this earth for the task to save undeserving sinners like us. And then Jesus, along with the Father, he gave himself, didn't he, to the task, most willingly, most gladly surrendering himself to whatever needed was needed sinners like us to save. Leaving heaven, he was willing to become a little fertilized egg, if I may say it respectfully, in the womb of Mary by the conception of the Holy Spirit. See him willing, congregation, to come into this dark world as he did. Emmanuel, God with us. And then from Mary's womb to Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, you know, he was always giving of himself, ministering of himself for sinners like us. Yes, even to the death of the cross. Sinners like us to save. And then behold, the Holy Spirit, let's not forget, the Holy Spirit in his secret, almighty work in the holy conception and protection of Jesus in the womb of Mary, who was a sinner like us all. As another put it, this was God's way of becoming man without ceasing to be God. The Holy Spirit was active in creation, hovering over it, as told us in Genesis 1, verse 2. And now in the Virgin Mary, he became active, the Holy Spirit, in an overshadowing way for our recreation. Luke 1:35, in the person and work of Jesus. In Jesus' birth, God bypassed Joseph, Mary's fiancé and then husband, so that the full emphasis might fall alone on the mystery and the wonder of the incarnation as God's most gracious and glorious and sure sovereign act of salvation for our good. We read too of the Holy Spirit involved in all the ministry of Jesus. I read this afternoon between church, Hebrews 9:14, that, quote, it was through the eternal Spirit that Jesus offered himself spotless or without spot to God. It was through the Spirit, says very specifically. So the Holy Spirit was all involved in the conception and everything else about Jesus. But we're focusing on the conception now. Oh, how the whole Trinity was intimately involved and behind Jesus' conception even. And should make us say, isn't it all so good? The way whole Godhead is involved. You know, when God created this world in the beginning, he created a good, very good. But even more, congregation, with God in the work of recreation, how good God is. So good. So almighty. So wonderful. I was speaking to a builder the other day, a guy who builds houses and who also renovates old buildings. And I asked him, what do you like doing more? Renovating old buildings or building from scratch? You know what he told me? I like building from scratch better. It's easier. When you have to work with something that's old and rotten, it's harder work. It's more things come up. Well, the whole work of recreation is taking what we have spoiled and mightily, powerfully, righteously, holily, redesigning and redoing it all in a way most good. And that's what God is after. And think of it, why would God even do this? Why would he reach out at all to rebel, thankless, ungodly sinners like ourselves? Well, the answer ultimately is because God is love. God is love. And he desires not the death of the wicked, but their salvation. And so in the fullness of time, yes, he sent his son as he did. And it's all so amazing. And it's so good. Is that what you think too this afternoon? As we talk about this all. And are we a people melted in heart by the love of God as revealed in Christ Jesus, the Savior of sinners, whom God has provided for sinners like us? We are here this afternoon to worship the one true God as revealed in Jesus Christ, the Savior. And we can be just a few. That doesn't matter, really. Are we worshiping him? Do we say with Paul, thanks for the gospel of Jesus Christ, just with his miraculous conception, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What reasons to do so, congregation? Because it's truly so good. We're considering, well, the way Jesus was conceived. You know, it makes for him to be most able to save sinners like us. And to do so from the beginning to the end. For the way he was conceived, it brings out so clearly. He came into this world as very God. And also as very man, and yet with no sin. He is the Almighty God who comes into this world in the flesh, sinless, perfectly sinless. So is our Jesus from his conception on. He is without sin from start to finish as human being here on earth, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary. And this is so important to know and to believe, because think of it, if Jesus, even in one little single speck, was stained with some sin, nothing about him, and whatever he could and would do for us to save us from our sins could ever be acceptable to God. No. You see, God is so infinitely holy and absolutely pure that no sin nor sinner can exist before him and be allowed to stand by him. But now we need not fear. For Jesus is that perfect, blameless, spotless, guiltless, almighty Savior of sinners we need. All Jesus suffered for sin in his life was on behalf of sinners. And never for reason of sin within himself. No. Jesus suffered and died, as Peter says very emphatically in 1 Peter 3:18. He suffered and died as the just for the unjust. And Paul declares in 2 Corinthians 5:21 about Jesus, for he that is God triune made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, the good news of the gospel really is all about this congregation, this gracious, wonderful, great exchange for all God's people, even for as many who by grace, through faith, repent of their sins and believe in the Savior. The great gospel exchange news is that for all believers, for all God's elect, on Christ is put all our sins for him to pay for. And on us is placed and imputed Jesus' righteousness, completely. Yes, to make us in and through him, Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, to make us wholly acceptable to God and greatly welcomed to God through Christ and him crucified and risen again through his shed blood on sinners' behalf. For by one offering, he, God, has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, that is, those living in faith, in the one and only Savior of sinners. That's what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:14. In other words, dear congregation, the fact of Jesus' miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Virgin Mary, it's all so good because it proves beyond all question. When God sent his Son, he sent him fully able and supremely equipped and willing to save sinners completely. He is a Savior of sinners who covers for his people from conception to the grave. I need that kind of a Savior, don't you? And it's so perfect, it's so good. The Savior God has provided for sinners like us, you and me, everything we need. I read just this week from Paul David Tripp saying, Because the person and work of Jesus on our behalf is so completely sufficient, we can say, he writes, there's no damage that sin has done or will do that hasn't been addressed by Jesus, by Jesus' person, work, promise, and presence. And there's nothing that could be known or revealed or exposed about us that hasn't been covered by Christ's atoning person and work. It's that good, you see. And it starts with his holy conception. And you know, again, the Heidelberg Catechism is so good here. In question and answer 36, the question is asked, what profit? So what? What's this all benefit you? What profit do you receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity? And the Christian answers, the profit is that he, Jesus Christ, is our mediator. And with his innocence and perfect holiness, he covers in the sight of God my sins wherein I was conceived and brought forth. And again, isn't this great gospel truth just so good? It is so for all those who take seriously and know from their own lives, as sinners by nature, we are all conceived and born in sin, without a doubt, without exception. This solemn and undeniable truth is emphatically confessed by David in Psalm 51, verse 5. We read there, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. But the gospel tidings are, congregation, the gospel tidings so amazing and so good that in and with Christ and his sinless conception by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, well, we, that is all God's believing people, we have salvation coverage and insurance from conception to the grave. I was going to say from cradle to the grave, but no, from conception to the grave. And then even beyond, to all eternity. As another put it, congregation, Christ's sinless birth covers our sinful entrance into life. The reality about us is that as children of Adam, fallen in sin, we all, you and I, and our children, we are children of wrath of ourselves. We need a second Adam without original sin and with no actual sin to save us from our sins. And Jesus is that perfect, sinless Savior from his conception on. And all we need to be truly and perfectly, completely and forever saved from all sin and evil, we find in and with him, Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of sinners. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Yes, thanks for the gospel of Jesus Christ, just with his miraculous conception. It's all so amazing and so good. Also because, you know, it proclaims and guarantees to us God's goodwill and complete provision for us in the sending of his Son the way he did. How sure you and I can be and may be that Jesus is mighty to save. For just think how he came. And his qualifications, sinners to save, being both very God and real righteous human being, flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone, yet without any sin. See Jesus as sinless sin bearer, paying the full punishment for sin on sinners' behalf. And won't you too exclaim in utmost adoration and praise to him, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Yes, thanks for the gospel of Jesus Christ, just with his miraculous conception. You know, sometimes people question and argue about whether Jesus' holy conception and virgin birth, and believing that, is actually essential and necessary to the Christian faith. People will say, just believe in Jesus, that's all you have to believe. But there's no doubt, congregation, it is essential. And it is necessary to believe this about Jesus, as even our church fathers, again, humbly and boldly taught and declared in the Athanasian Creed long ago, and then again in our catechisms and Reformed confessions. Now, this doesn't mean, congregation, I had this discussion with someone not that long ago. It doesn't mean that all who are ever saved necessarily have to know all these details about the gospel. No. But it does mean that all who do learn these wonderful truths of the gospel will not deny their basic and absolute blessed riches and necessity and be most thankful for them all. For the reality is, dear congregation, if Jesus was not conceived and born as he was, it would put into question everything about him, both as to his identity and also his all-sufficiency as the one mediator between God and man and as perfect savior of sinners for his people. But conceived and born as he was, as the scriptures tell us, well, that so much seals. It seals all the gospel truth about Jesus Christ as truly that one and only Savior, so good to know and wonderful to trust and obey. So one wrote, in fact, and won't all God's people identify with this confession of faith? While Jews on their own law rely, and Greeks of wisdom boast, I love the incarnate mystery, and there I fix my trust. Oh, that we all might once and again, even for all our lifetime, truly fix our trust in Jesus, the Savior. Consider yet our third point under our sermon theme. Thanks for the gospel of Jesus Christ, just with his miraculous conception. It's gospel truth also so powerful, as well as amazing and good. When I say it's powerful, I mean with that, what doesn't it teach us what more could have been done, congregation, than what the Lord has planned and promised and provided and accomplished in the sending of his Son as the incarnate one, God come in the flesh, for helpless, hopeless sinners like us, to save us truly and completely. He could do no more, nor need ever to do any more to save us than what he has done in Jesus, in giving him as he has. For in him, in Jesus, congregation, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, we have everything and more that we need for our complete salvation. Yes, even for the vilest of sinners, whoever he or she may be. You know, interestingly, in this line, in the end of Romans 5, when Paul has been comparing what is our state and our lost condition in Adam as fallen sinners, when he compares that to our state and our gain in Christ, when joined to him, the second Adam, Christ Jesus, and trusting and following him, then what does the apostle exclaim and proclaim at the end of that comparison? He says in verse 20 to 21, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Indeed. And again, what reasons therefore to say with Paul once and repeatedly, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Yes, with the sending of Jesus to be the Savior and with the gospel, just with his miraculous conception as the incarnate Savior God. Well, here let me ask, is any among us feeling hopeless and helpless, needy and troubled, guilty and defiled, convicted of sin and condemned for sin? Oh, listen. The incarnation of Jesus Christ, coming as he did, tells of God in infinite compassion and care, coming to meet us right where we are at our level, and even lower. Behold Jesus as God come in the flesh for the rescue and redemption of sinners like us. You know, think about it, in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't Adam and Eve that were running to God for salvation, but it was God who came to them. And so it is in the whole way of salvation. It's about God coming in sovereign grace and mercy to seek and to save the lost, and coming in no less than in the person and work of Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, God with us. It was heartwarming for me to read in this regard the following words from another preacher, again, different preacher, in my sermon preparation for this message. Listen to these gospel words, so powerful in view of the gospel tidings of Jesus' miraculous conception. This preacher wrote, with that word Emmanuel, God with us, the Lord wants to tell us, you and me, dear hesitant brother or sister, dear struggling sinner, that you may come to him as you are, poor and needy. You don't, he writes, you don't need to make yourself into a little god before you can approach him. Nor do you have to pretend to be a little angel before you can come into his presence. You can try to make yourself a little angel, but you aren't. And everybody knows it. You're just a wretched sinner by yourself. Admit it. And come to this Savior God as an ordinary flesh and blood human being. Jesus, the Son of God. He has come for our ease of approach to God. He has come, an ordinary flesh and blood human being who's also very God. It's a mystery. It's a wonder. You know, human beings, we all know this, can sometimes remain very unapproachable, can't they, towards other human beings. People don't always have the patience to listen long enough to others. They don't always have the desire to stand in someone else's shoes. They don't always have the condescension to stand next to a weak and a failing, faltering brother or sister. But that's not so with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is fully approachable. He is willing, congregation, he is willing even to stand in our shoes and to stand next to us as a friend and as a brother. No more yet, he has been willing to stand and to serve in our place as Savior of sinners, beginning with his miraculous conception in the womb of Mary and climaxing in his horrendous crucifixion as sin-bearer, all to save to the uttermost, freely and fully, as many as look to him and call upon him and trust and follow him. This incarnate Savior, as this preacher wrote, is almighty, and his resurrection from the grave proves and proclaims with him, by God's approval and blessing, is complete victory and redemption over all sin and evil within and around us, and over Satan and this ungodly world, and even over death and hell itself. We are more than conquerors through this Jesus Christ, and trusting and following him for all our salvation from start to finish. Oh yes, dear congregation, that's the wonder of Jesus' incarnation and the gospel purpose of the Savior as Son of God, coming in the flesh, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. It's all grand, glorious, gracious gospel truth, so amazing, so good, and so powerful that all who come to Jesus, hear this gospel, come to the Savior, and you will not be put to shame. But hearing this gospel and refusing still to come to him, that means you will forever be put to shame, except you repent and believe even today. Well, may the Holy Spirit, as sent from God the Father and God the Son, bless the foolishness of preaching, not that the preaching is foolish, but the foolishness of the means of preaching, that we all be drawn to this Savior, and that we truly worship and heartily believe and become zealous witnesses of the wonders of Jesus' incarnation. Indeed, that you and I, without exception, congregation, testify once and again, thanks for the gospel of Jesus Christ, just with his miraculous conception. Thanks. Yes, as I said, the whole Thanksgiving weekend 2021 is about thanksgiving to God. And you know, eternal thanks, endless thanksgiving is what the new heaven and earth is all about for God's people. Won't we all now then, while it's yet the day of grace, with Paul learn by God's grace and Spirit to testify concerning Jesus, the Savior of sinners, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, to say, thanks. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. Dear Lord, teach us to be thankful. Teach us to be more thankful and more thankful still. Help us to know our sin and misery without this Savior, this Savior given exactly as he came, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. What a Savior. Thanks, O Lord, for your indescribable gift. May it never testify against any of us, but may we all be saved by him and live to tell others of him while it's yet the day of grace. In Jesus' name.